What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Healthy Scratches, a Blue Shirts podcast. Follow us on X or Twitter, whatever you like to call it, at THSABSPodNYR. Follow us on all of our podcasting platforms. Once again, every week, Wednesday morning at 8 a.m., we will be releasing our new episode. So please be listening. Please keep an ear out. And we appreciate all the support as always. Boys, I can't believe I'm saying this. I've been saying it all weekend. My fiance has been making fun of me all weekend because of the way of what I've been saying. I am sipping the Kool-Aid now. Even after a tough loss on Sunday against Colorado, I am definitely sipping the Kool-Aid, and I am almost all the way back in on this season. I'm not fully there yet. I'm still a little skeptical, but I'm definitely sipping what they're giving me at the moment.
Good for them for playing better. I remember last week I had a quote, and it said, you know, hey, listen, they win Tuesday against Ottawa, who's actually climbed up to the 3 spot in the division, by the way. And if they win Thursday against Philadelphia, you know, teams essentially that the Rangers are racing right now for a postseason spot. But obviously, if Ottawa is going to be in the top 3 on their side of the bracket, doesn't matter. But, you know, I had said, hey, listen, feed up against Colorado. 5 minutes, you know, a couple minutes left in the third period, you know, 4-4 game. I was not feed up. I was like, man, they need to get a point. Like, they need to get a point. It would really help to get a point, this, that, and the other. And obviously, you know, brutal. Partially, it's brutal because of when it happened. It's also unlucky. And, you know, it's, you know, what do you guys think of, you know, I want to start there because that's kind of been a hot topic the last 48 hours on Rangers Twitter and, you know, the Rangers stratosphere of things. Like, what do we think of, you know, which was a very big week for Will Borgen, up and down week, I guess, in that sense. What do we think of that? What do we think of that play?
The play itself to lose the game?
Yeah. I hate saying that because they fell down 2-0 right away. But, like, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough play. You know, there's a lot of people, my father included, that were like, what a stupid pass. I can't believe he made that pass. How do you not see that guy coming? I get it, and I wish he would have seen Makar coming. That being said, or you know, because usually towards the end of a power play, they usually tap their sticks on the boards. There's some sort of like counter that goes off to let them know that the power play is ending. Maybe he thought he had a little more time than he did. Didn't realize that the power play was over. Obviously went to go make a pass, and it just stunk, you know, because in my mind, I think it was, just to your point, Dan, I think it was extremely unlucky. I think it was an unfortunate break that went against the Rangers that stole a point literally out of our point total. I feel for the player. I feel for the boys, especially with the heart and the resiliency to climb back in that game. But do I really blame Will Borgen on that play? Like, do I hate him for it? No, it stunk.
No,
but it is what it is.
I do blame someone else a little bit more on that play, though.
Who?
I didn't like that. I know Sean Avery's. I mean, Sean Avery being on his ass is an understatement for that play. But, you know, I'm not going to be on him as hard as Sean Avery is. But, I mean, man.
Dan.
Hey, Dan, we're losing you.
Dan, we're losing you, pal. We're not hearing anything that you're saying, but well, hopefully that situates itself out. But yeah, I mean, okay, we just lost him. That's all right. No, I get what he's saying, though, and I thought the same thing, Nick. I thought the effort could have been a little better from Artemi there. You know, like, it's, I understand he was on the ice for a little while at that point. I understand he's probably a little tired because of the amount of time he was spending on the ice. You got to show a little more effort than that, because even if there's perceived pressure there, maybe it rushes the play to the point where the player doesn't make the pass cleanly or doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, I just, you know, it could have maybe possibly prevented the goal, and then we just survive, make it to OT, and then from OT, at least we have the point, and then there's the possibility of the winner point as well. Yeah. So it is what it is. It's unfortunate. Yeah.
Now listen, the Borgen play, like you said, it was tough. Like, obviously, you look at it, like, you gotta be aware. Like, that's part of hockey IQ. You gotta know the time's coming out. Like, you gotta know. But
yeah,
I mean, not everybody coming out of the box can see it. Like, Kale McCarr has the hockey IQ of Kale McCarr. And listen, it's tough. It's not great, but I mean, it's still one of those things where it's like, hey, like, I don't kill him because he's made so many great plays recently. I know he's had a couple tough ones, but man, he's blocking shots. He's playing physical. I mean, Igor tells you how he loves playing with him playing in front of him. It's something that, you know, I've enjoyed seeing Borgen play. We'll get into his extension a little bit later on the podcast. You know, but I'm with Dan here. I don't think Avery's not really a person I look at to compare to, you know, compare to anything, but
he's too emotional Panarin's, with all of his breakdowns.
He is. Panarin needs to come back on that play. I don't care if you have 10 seconds left in the game. You need to play hard there. You have a chance to win this hockey game, to get yourself back into it. There is no reason you don't come back to at least put some pressure on the guy shooting the puck. There's no reason at all. So I think that's a really – that speaks a lot about Panarin, and that's his big criticism is he doesn't do the things that you need. Now, listen, he's a hell of a player, and he plays really, really well, and he can put up points like no tomorrow. But you need, in a moment like that where you have a chance to steal not just a point but two in a game you realistically could use – I mean, you got to come out and you've got to finish that. You have to finish that play, and you have to finish, get the point. I know you don't have a lot of time left. I know you're not sure how much time exactly, but you play until the whistle or until the horn. You can't be doing that. You absolutely cannot be doing that. So that was tough, you know, but I'm going to take some positives out of this week too, man. I mean, you came out and two teams you're fighting with, you took it to them.
Beat the wheels off of them.
Both of them. Igor started in his head in the second period against the Flyers. Don't get me wrong. He was excellent. But, man, I mean, Ottawa, the whole game was under your control. The Rangers controlled that whole game. I mean, the fourth line, we'll talk about them in a little bit, was awesome. You know, and then the Flyers, they responded immediately. After letting up a goal a minute and a half in, they responded immediately and made a great play. Once again, it was, I believe it was Rempe to Carr. No, that was against Colorado. Either way, they come back and they respond immediately. Schneider actually was the one that scored. Schneider scored against the Flyers. And, you know, that's something we haven't seen out of the team the first half of this. I mean, I shouldn't say the first half of the season. During December mostly, you know, we didn't really see the team fight back immediately and play hard. It's just, I don't know. They found a groove. They found some confidence, and I'm loving what I'm seeing. And now I go into every game saying, hey, we can beat anybody on any given night. You know, something I haven't felt all season. Like tonight against Carolina, we'll see what happens. I'm not expecting a lot. I'm hoping that they play a competitive game. But for some reason, Rangers show up for a Carolina game, and Carolina just struggle in New York. So I'm hoping that that's the case again tonight. But this team knows what they're up against. And I've said it for the past, I think, 3 weeks now. I'll say it again. You'll know what they're doing with this team by Four Nations. You're going to be either in the race or you're going to be out of the race, period. You'll know what they're going to decide to do because that's a really good sample size. It's enough. I think there'll be a game, I want to say 56 or 57 by the time we hit Four Nations, maybe 55. But either way, that'll give you enough time to say, hey, like, you know, we're buyers or we're sellers. And I think you could see that maybe the first three or four games after Four Nations, two possibly, come out. If they win those first three or four, then okay, you're back in it and you can nip in the bud. But if you come out and you're 2-2 after a rough patch here before Four Nations, you're not going to do it. So I think this is going to be a good test, and tonight and against Vegas coming up too, these are all going to be tough tests.
I agree. I think I'm actually looking up their schedule right now because the remaining six games going into that Four Nations break, Nick, they got quite the competitive games coming up. Obviously tonight they have Carolina. Then they got the Bruins, Vegas, the Bruins again, And then two winnable games in Pittsburgh and Columbus. But, I mean, buddy, I think I'm at the point where I think even if they go 3-3, but maybe they rip off two wins against, like, the Knights, maybe the Hurricanes, you know, or one against the Bruins, maybe one against the Knights or one or the other. I think even if really they go 500 the rest of the way, I still think we're kind of buying at this point. And to your point, Nick, I mean, I've been on this podcast obviously many times this year saying that I'm kind of out on the season. I guess this is the part where I admit that I'm fully back in, and I'm gonna sound like a fraudulent fan, like a bandwagon fan.
No. You're not a bandwagon fan. That's not true.
Well, you know what it is? I thought that they got so far out of the playoff race and they were playing so poorly against teams. You know, like there was that one game against the Devils where we got like the wheels beaten off of us 5-0. And if you look at the expected goals, pretty sure the Devils who scored 5 had an expected goals rate of 6 to the Rangers, like not even 1. You know what I mean? Like the fact that they've played so well recently and to your point against teams that we're trying to catch up to in the race. Like how they've played such Jekyll and Hyde hockey, at least at those points of the season, is insane to me. But I mean, the way they've been playing recently and the amount of wins that they've been able to rip off, I mean, it's kind of hard for me to say that I don't believe at this point. I think I would just be in denial saying I don't believe. Again, I think even if it's in the next 6 games, they go 500, obviously, especially if they go 4-2 or they go over 500, I do think they're going to be buyers at the deadline for sure. And I do think that, really, like, buyers is funny, right? Because I do think maybe that they trade Lindgren. I wonder if they're going to, like, buy by selling to a degree, right? Like, I wonder if they sell off a Ryan Lindgren. I wonder if they sell off maybe a Kreider, but they also improve the team in the process. But I do believe there's going to be tweaks to try to compete this year because the Rangers are right in the thick of it all.
So I am back, first of all.
Welcome great back, Daniel.
Great time for Microsoft Teams to update. Number two, I don't think you're a fraud for saying I'm out and then I'm back. I think where we kind of get very black and white as human beings. And I'll put it this way, like, you love the girl, right? And then you find out that she, was cheating on you. Information changes on whether you want to, marry or be with the person or not. Like, you got to put it that way. Like, the Rangers have given us a new set of information in that sense, where they've given us a large enough sample size to say, hey, you know what? Like, we have turned this ship around. We have improved this whole thing. So if you were out, 6 weeks ago, I think it's okay to say, hey, you know what? Like, they have righted this ship and they've made trades. That have actually kind of addressed some of the things that were wrong. I mean, Will Borgen got an extension for a reason, guys. Vaakanainen hasn't been awful. He hasn't been great, but he hasn't been awful. He's been fine. And to answer the question, I think at the deadline, I think they will be buyers and sellers. I think you're going to see a lot of guys go in and out. Like, you could see Lindgren and Kreider go, but you can also see guys come back. You could see a trade for right now, sure, that involves, moving, Ryan Lindgren, and Chris Kreider, where you get future assets, but you can also turn around and use some of those future assets to get players that balance your sheet better or fit your team better or feel like, hey, they're going to give us more in the postseason than Ryan Lindgren is, or they're going to be more available, or et cetera, et cetera. So I think you're going to see a little bit of kind of a mixed bag, guys. I mean, you never know. I mean, maybe there is a taker for Mika Zibanejad's contract. Maybe Keandre Miller is out the door, but you're able to bring in sometimes, like, we kind of box ourselves and the answer has to be within the system, this, that, and the other, but it could be a young player from another team's system. It could be, we don't know. It could be, hey, we got a, I don't know, we got a second round pick for Keandre Miller. We turn around, use that second round pick, and you bring in, you know, that scoring punch that, you know, you need that balances the sheet. It, there's a lot of ways to skin this man. So I'm interested. I am very interested for March 7th. Very interested.
So here's what I've read and heard. I don't know if you guys saw this today. Apparently someone, I guess John, I think Johnny Lazarus, I could be wrong, asked LaViolette who have been the leaders since Trubas kind of left, you know, and he pointed to Trocheck as we would have expected. And of believe course. It or not, Ryan Lindgren, which is really something that I kind of am like, okay, that's interesting to me. Now, wonder if that's going to affect whether or not he is end up being out the door, because I've not been a fan of his most of the season. But during the stretch that they've been playing well, he overall has been the guy we've known the past few years with Fox, which is interesting to me. Now, I don't think he's still been great this year. I still think he should be traded if there's the right option. But to hear LaViolette say that and then see the way he's been playing lately and see the way this team has been responding, it almost seems like they've kind of figured it out without some of the guys that they've had in the past. And I don't – here's my quarrel with myself right now over this Ryan Lindgren stuff. I don't – I think if there's the right trade out there, you do it. But – and you don't – because I don't want him to go – I don't want him to walk for nothing, because that's what would happen if he's a UFA.
They can't
let him walk for nothing.
They can't at this point.
Can't
like,
do it.
Sure, maybe you could trade his rights on like June 20th. But but like if you know, hey, listen, like I'm gonna sign somewhere, I don't know, on like June 20th, you could trade his rights, or June 25th, like right before UFA, and give a team a 6-day window. I mean, that's what, listen, Carolina was able to, I mean, I'm not saying that the Rangers would get a third round pick. Carolina was able to get a third round pick for Jake Guentzel.
I can't wait to have this discussion with you guys about Carolina, because I cannot believe what they are doing right now. And it makes me wonder, you know, I don't know. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't want to talk about the Jake Guentzel trade. We're going to get into the Mikko Rantanen trade in a little bit, because I am heated over this deal and how they've been basically been able to manipulate the NHL for the past two seasons. Either way. No, I just, you know, the whole Lindgren thing, it's just, it's like an odd scenario now, because it's like this team's playing so well and you want to see it, you know. And see, now, key to me, Keandre Miller, I think that's going to be a off-season trade. I think they're going to let this ride, see how he finishes the season, see if he earns a contract, and then they'll let him go if they feel that's the best choice, and trade him, because you have control over him. I don't know if he's necessarily going to be gone at the deadline. Now, I'm not going to keep him if that means we can add an asset that helps immediately and is very good. If they want Keandre Miller, then obviously I'm willing to part with Keandre Miller. But I don't know if he's going to be dangled out there as much as we think he is. I think Lindgren. I think Kreider. I also don't know. Sabanajad's complicated, because I don't know if his contract is going to be taken anywhere. But once again, another guy I'd be okay with. But you need to show me that there's going to be a replacement for this season, unless you're full-blown selling. If it's a selling season and you know you're not going to make the playoffs, then it is what it is. Get what you can back. But right now, after the way they've been playing and the way they're right in this thing with all these teams, you're competing against teams that you can beat. You've had Boston's number. You know, Tampa's a tough team, but, I mean, you know, you've had the Flyers' number. You have Columbus. You can beat Columbus. Like, you're playing teams that you are better than and you can beat. You've also beaten Detroit a ton this year. I know you're not playing them again this year, but by beating them all three times, that helps you. That benefits you now, because those are all points that you took from them early in the season. So it's just, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to think about with this team right now. There's so much we can talk about, and the trades and whatnot are interesting. But I just, like I said, just going back to Lindgren again real quick, it's hard now the right thing is to trade him, and I won't keep my heart in that. But it seems like the locker room's kind of gotten back together. Would trading him now hurt them ultimately? Because a locker room seems like it's gotten back together, and he's been a leader, and he's quoted to be saying he doesn't want to leave New York. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what that would do, but do we think this locker room, we've seen it already this season, is too sensitive to lose another leader?
I mean, me personally, Nick, and as soon as you said what you said about Peter Laviolette, and I do remember reading that quote about who the leaders are in the room who've really stepped up. When I read that quote, I literally thought, damn, that's not good. And as you literally just repeated it, I've had the exact same thought. I thought, that stinks, because all I hear is a guy that should be a trade candidate, a guy that I don't believe is in the long
by now.
A guy that I don't believe is in the long-term plans of the New York Rangers, who really I think would benefit the team to trade him. When I read and hear those comments and those quotes, I think exactly what you just said, Nick. I think if you trade one of the leaders in the room, how does that sit with the guys, right? Like, to your point, the team is finally coming back together. They're playing well. Do we really want to interrupt that? And if you're Drury, you kind of have to take that into account. Now, me personally, I am back in on this season in general. I'm back on, all right, maybe these guys don't stink as much as I initially thought. That being said, if we're being honest, we probably should be priming more for this season and the future. So I believe with what I've said before about Ryan Lindgren, I still think, regardless of the locker room coming back together, I still think you make that trade, boys. I don't know. Like, again, I'm in on this season, right? Like, I'm drank the Kool-Aid already. I couldn't resist. It looked delicious.
It's good.
It's good. It's good. And I, you know what it is? Every time this team plays, I feel like they have an opportunity to win, and I do believe they will win, and I root for it every time. But I don't think, and in feeling that, yes, it's hard to remove players on a team that's performing the way that they're performing right now, but even if it's just Lindgren, right? Even if you keep Kreider, I think you have to get rid of one or two. You can't let these assets depreciate any longer, especially now that they're playing so well. And you could even make the case for Keandre Miller that because they're playing so well and they're raising their value, maybe this is the time where you strike. You strike while the iron's hot, you know?
Yeah. See, that's my thing. That's my thing. That's why I really like, that's why I keep saying, like, we're going to know by Four Nations. I think we are going to know, because there's so many swing games that are coming up. Like, Carolina is not necessarily a, quote, swing game, because, like, you're not going to hop Carolina in the standings. We're not catching them. That's not the point. It's just more, it's more like we're, you know, man, like, it, we really are. I still believe that, and I hate kicking the can down the road, because it's not good, like, for banter, and, like, it's not the hot take, it's not this and that. I keep saying, like, by the time we get to Four Nations, we are absolutely going to know, because after Four Nations, there's, like, what, two or three games, and then the deadline, like, so you're gonna essentially know at that point, and the Rangers are gonna have a lot of time to mull this over during that time period, which I think is really good for them. And kind of like a thank God, because I think they are in a very precarious situation. Who do we trade? What do we do? You know, what can we get for this? What can we get for that? I really think that during that Four Nations break, it's really going to benefit the Rangers into the direction that they want to go.
Yeah.
So, sorry, real quick, because this is based off what Dan just said. There's a total of 7 games after Four Nations that the Rangers play before the deadline, which is on 7. Friday, March 7th. There's 7 games that they play. And the craziest part is they're all it's Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Islanders, Toronto.
Of course.
Hold on.
Of
Nashville Islanders, and then Washington.
Of course.
So it's, listen, they can still lose these games because they're all really NHL teams. But man, if you go in and you can go, you can easily go. You should.
5-1-1
You can go 5-1-1, 5-2 in that stretch and be right back in the mix of things. So I really think they have to knock themselves out of the race before this March 7th. I don't even think – I want to say Four Nations was a deadline, but after the way they've been playing, if they can get into the break within, I'd say, 4 points of a playoff spot, it's going to be tough.
But, Nick, I still think – here's what I'm going to say. Like, that's why I still think, like Four Nations, that's why I think, like, you could sit down as a front office, okay – we come out of this break, we go 6-1, and we're in this spot. What do we do? If this is the plan here, if we, you know, if we're 4-3 and we only get 8 of the, you know, we only get, you know, 8 of 14 points, like, this is what we're, and we're here, this is what we're going to do. That's why I still think, like they really need to sit down during that Four Nations. And you know what? Hey, you know what? Even if they go 5-2, it doesn't mean they might not be in a playoff spot. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Because, like, they could still look to, you know, they could go 5-2 during that stretch, and they could still trade away Chris Kreider. In the right deal.
I think this team, the more and more I think about it, with the way that we dominated Ottawa, with the way that we dominated the Flyers, I understand the Flyers aren't exactly in a playoff spot right now. At least I believe last time
they're
I
not.
Checked, but
they're not. Also, you know, that Tampa was a have team. The last two spots.
Okay, that was a team that at the time had come in winning 6 straight games, and the Rangers absolutely dominated them. I know Ottawa had another similar, like, you know, they had a good record in their past like 6-7 games prior to playing the Rangers. I think at this point, boys, based on what we've seen the Rangers do to a couple of these teams, and yeah, you could say, oh, that was one game, right? Like, if you're a fan of the other teams, you could say, oh, well, that was one game. Boys, the Rangers have played so well that I'm looking at this team, and the more and more I think about it, this team is a playoff team. I think this team could be a Boston, you know, especially if they win 2 of these upcoming games that they have in these last 6 against Boston. I mean, it's hard to look at this team and not think playoff team. I think they are a playoff team. I think they're playing better now. Power play's finally working again. 5 offense, defense, goaltending, it's all gotten better, right? I would have to do a little dive into the 5-versus-5 metrics to really see how I truly feel about this team's odds. That being said, if you're Chris Drury, you're probably looking at this team, you're like, oh yeah, we are definitely a playoff team. And again, Like I said before, and like what Dan just said, right? You could win those 5 out of 7 games. You could win, mm-hmm. you know, maybe even less, and think it's just about tweaking the roster so that this year and in the years to come, you're better set up with guys who you think will help you win. And I think some team out there can be tricked into thinking that Chris Kreider is going to be the guy that puts them over the top. And if you have a team strong enough, he could well be that guy. Right. We know he's a phenomenal special teams player. We know he's a good leader in the locker room. I'm just a little concerned about his 5-on-5 play and the amount of assists he has through 40 something games. So, again, it's a buying selling type situation. And I do think that the Rangers, I do think Chris Drury has enough of a brain where he thinks this is a playoff team and I have to make the necessary tweaks for this year and for the future coming, even if it's like a short-term move coupled with a long-term move, like picks, to where he can set his team up for the future. You know, and I think moving money is a big thing too, right? Sure. Like, imagine you trade a Chris Kreider and you get a $2 million player and picks, right? Now you have another $4 million added to the cap. Maybe you can go out and sign a big free agent or something. You know what I mean? But I do believe this team is a playoff team now. And I think he will be adding. I think he will be buying for sure.
Yeah, no, it's just so complicated because we've been asking for Chris Kreider to be a third line left winger, and we're finally getting to see that. And we see the depth of this team now with him in the third line. I mean, that third line has been pretty good. I don't think they've been great, but they've been pretty good overall during the stretch with Kaliev and Hedl. you know, I don't know. It's hard to say what can and can't be done. I'm hoping that Drury does not trade like a Kreider for nothing just to get him out. Like, that's what I'm hopeful for.
I think it's a hockey trade. I think it's a guy for a guy type situation.
Which would be fine. I guess this is the negative of this team. We've seen them already kind of fall apart when they've lost leadership. So I just worry that if another leader or two leaders leaves that locker room, I don't want to see that, because they can't go through a lull. They can't go through another lull.
And this is going to sound awful. I don't know how much of a leader Chris Kreider really is.
That's a fair point, after though. I can all see that, where years, it comes from.
And it sounds awful on the surface. I know. It sounds awful what I just said, because I'm sure, like, the leader as in, like, I feel like he's more lead by example, though. I could be totally wrong. I feel like he's more lead by example.
I agree.
Rather than like, you know.
He's not as vocal, maybe.
Ryan Callahan type of leadership, or, you know, or even like Mark Messier or someone like that. Like, not as vocal. And you don't think he was the shoo-in to be captain, and like there's a reason why he's not? Like, So we talk about the leadership and this, how much of a leader is he really? You have to kind of think of it that way. Like, we have a lot of lead by example guys. Like, Adam Fox is one, you know, like Adam Fox is one. I think Lafreniere is a lead by example guy. I you know, it seems like Ryan Lindgren's become more of a vocal leader rather than, you know, just lead by example and lead by play. I think we have a lot of guys like that. So, like, does moving
and you Chris can Kreider only have so many? I feel, really right? Kill like, the I feel leadership. Like, there's got to be a balance,
right? Like, I mean, you see the, you know, like, it, you know, you see the star player work hard and, you know, play defense, you know, every night, or, you know, et cetera, and do all the dirty work, but they're not a vocal leader. Like, yeah, sure, that can only take you so far, because it's like, oh, well, you know, he does all that dirty work, like, I should too, but, you know, sometimes you need the vocal leader. So, like, I just don't know how much of a, like, we're sitting here talking about it, I just don't know how much.
Yeah, I think that's maybe why the whole JT Miller situation, like, if you're Chris Drury, that's probably why there's been so much talk around the whole JT Miller situation, because that's the kind of player who, like, to your point, Dan, is not, he's a lead by example guy, but he's like a mixture. I would say he's more like a hybrid, right? Where he's like a guy that will his teammates into the fight, right? Like, yes, he has his problems where maybe sometimes his personality can be a bit much and that might rub guys the wrong way. But I think if you're Chris Drury trying to put together a winning roster, you're probably looking at a guy like JT Miller. Like, he has the skill and he's willing to do the dirty work and he's willing to do the things that other guys don't want to do, that will inspire the guys around him to do what needs to be done.
Yeah, no, for sure. So there's a lot that's going to happen here, and there's a lot that can be done. And I hope he does do both. I just want to see this team succeed, because, like I said, I don't think this team is going to go and make a cup run. But we have seen a lot crazier things. And honestly, we have seen a lot less talented teams do a lot more than the Rangers have in the postseason. If you get in, anything can happen. It's just all matchups. It's just all matchups and how you're playing. Like Dan said, like we discussed last week, if this team is going in 15-4-1 into the postseason, I mean, they're probably going to end up being in a better spot than the wild card if they're doing that, honestly, because that's like a catch anybody kind of track, unless you're 30 points out like you are to Washington, you know. But even if they're going, like, let's say 11-6-1 into the postseason, that's still good. And you're sitting there playing good hockey, you beat playoff caliber teams going into the playoffs, and you have a chance. So I don't know. It's just, there's a lot to be discussed here with this team. I'm happy with the way they're playing. I think that they're playing really good hockey. Let's get into this. There's a couple things we want to get into, you know, before we wrap today. Let's get into the Will Borgen deal, guys. How do we talked a little bit about him so far, but how do we feel about the deal? How do we feel about the player? I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was a little shocked. I think that this is.
I'm shocked they made that level of commitment.
Yeah, this shows that maybe they're not sellers to the extent that we think that they are going to be.
Dan, you want to go first or me?
I'm shocked they made this level of commitment, to be honest with you. I am. I don't know if this is part of me thought. I think my first initial thought was, okay, Ryan Lindgren's definitely not on this team past this year, at least. At most.
Mm-hmm.
His expiration date is the end of the season, whenever that is. And I said he probably is gone, because if you trade away Ryan Lindgren for, I don't know, a couple picks, that's Will Borgen's money. You know what I mean? That's a zero, because Lindgren's making 4.2.
Yep.
So you're saving 100K, and you're getting a player that's bigger, stronger, more available, a better skater. I think he's a better skater than Ryan Lindgren, and you know he's going to be more available. And also, I think you will see a little bit. I think the offense will come around with Borgen. And it's hard, you're getting a guy at that age, 28 to 33 years old, at $4.1 million a season. It's a nice deal. It's a good deal for the Rangers. It's a good deal for the player. I'm just shocked they made that level of commitment to Will Borgen. That's all.
I agree. I think the biggest shock factor is the fact that, I mean, he's only been with the team for, I think, before the signing. I think it was 17 games at that point, right? So, to everyone's point, and why everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe they just committed 5 years to Will Borgen. I do think he's played well. I think coming in here, it was a little bit of an adjustment at first, but I think he's come in, played his role well. I think that's why he's come out, that's why Shesterkin has come out and said all the glowing things that he said about Will Borgen playing defense in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
But boys, honestly, I have a different take on this contract extension. I do think it was signed, like I just said, right? The 5 years, 17 game sample size. Really? You're going to really sign him for 5 years after that? I get that. And I'm with you there. Honestly, boys, I kind of look at this as a pretty really smart deal, right? He can't get traded the rest of the year. He can't get traded next year. Boys, two 3 years from now, then it goes to a no move clause to a no trade clause. And if you really, really think about it, depending on how everything goes in the next 2 years with this team, with the cap going up, you could maybe, let's say everything stinks 2 years from now. You could look at 15 or whatever. I think it's a 20 team no trade list.
It's 20, 15, 10, and then zero.
Yeah. So you could look at, even if you wanted to trade him year one after that, right? You could look at 10 teams you could trade him to. And let's say he puts 10 contenders on there. And at $4.1 million with the cap up in 3 years, maybe let's say to maybe at $100 million or even more. I think that's a great deal, right? So I think locking him in for 5 years, I think, is good. I think it's at a very cost-controlled AAV, which I think is really good. I like that he can play defense against bigger guys, which, Dan, as you were saying before, if you're comparing him to Ryan Lindgren, both monetarily and the player themselves, I would trust Will Borgen to shut down a team's top line or their best players more than I would trust Lindgren, simply because of size alone.
Availability and matters too.
That as well, right? No disrespect to Lindgren, but outside of, to your point, he's not as available as Will Borgen, but also he's not as tall and as strong as Will Borgen, right? We saw in the Avalanche game, he put McKinnon on his you-know-where, and he just threw, McKinnon tried to, turn, and he just put him on the floor. Right. That's the kind of player you're going to need in the playoffs. I think outside of a couple boneheaded moves here and there, which, admittedly, no player on the defense for the Rangers has been perfect. I think Will Borgen has done exactly what's been asked of him. I think he's been that steadying presence on the defense. He's made Miller better. I think it's a great deal, and I think if all things go sideways, like I said before, I think you're looking at in 2-3 years, you can get some value back for this guy because he's at such a cost-controlled AAV for where the cap will be in 3 years plus time from now. So I think it's a great deal for the Rangers that I also still think was kind of signed semi-prematurely, but nevertheless, I'm happy with the deal.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, we've talked about the Rangers have not made great decisions with money, salary signings, like how they've done overall. I'd say the past, what, maybe 3 to 5 years especially, we're not too happy with it. I think the Lafreniere signing is a great signing early in the season. Good money, good value, and, you know, he can get another deal out of it too. I think this Borgen signing, like you just said, AJ, is a smart signing. I like what he brings. From what I've read and what I understand, there's a lot of teams that were looking at him. So a lot of teams liked him. And Drury really liked this kid even before the season, from what I've read. I know he's had his eye on him for a little while. So he got what he wanted with Kako, and he brings back a guy that if you're going to have him as a top four guy, you know, people go, oh, he's a bottom six guy. He's a bottom six guy. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you don't want to pay a bottom six guy X amount of money, but realistically, I don't think he's going to be a bottom six guy for the Rangers. I think he's proven he can be more than a bottom six guy for this team, especially. So I really like it. I think he brings a lot of physicality. He has size. Your goalie likes the way he plays in front of him. He won't back down from anybody, you know? So I think it's a win right now. And like you said, AJ, there's a chance he can just get moved pretty quickly too in 2 years. If it doesn't work out with this team in the next couple of seasons, and that's okay. Like, that's all right. You don't get many good deals. And I think 4.1 obviously is more than we all would have expected it to be. But I think to have that, knowing you have another defenseman on the contract going into next year with everything that's up in the air going into next season with all the contracts that are expiring this season, I think that's really good to have and really good to feel.
Let me ask, would you guys rather have given a 5-year deal to Will Borgen or Kaapo Kakko? I'm talking like when that deal, like just say, let's just go back to the day that trade was made, right? Like, knowing what you know about Kaapo Kakko's Rangers tenure and Will Borgen, would you have rather given the 5-year deal to Will Borgen or Kaapo Kakko?
Still
I'm not
Borgen.
Saying same money. I'm just okay.
Borgen,
just,
because
Just was curious.
What this team has clearly missed one thing, and he does things that the Rangers really haven't done. You know, they didn't do it last year against Florida.
Yes.
And they haven't done it, and since he's come to this team, they've been blocking more shots. He's been playing. You have a guy. This team is getting back. This team is making the right decisions. Like, I'm not like, listen, you're going to see your odd man rushes still. Don't get me wrong. There are still times that every defenseman pinches. It's going to happen. You see more forwards coming back now and being in position. It's not often you see a 4-on-1 or a 3-on-1 like you were in December. Like, you're not seeing the same kind of rushes against this team. And I don't know if he's part of it, or this team just seems to understand a little bit better, but like they're playing smarter hockey. They're making better choices. I wish they'd shoot the puck a little bit more still, to be honest with you, but he's been a big part of it. He's been a huge add for this team, and he's really solidified that defense into what they need. And who knows what they're going to go do this offseason. There are some names out there, guys. Like, there's not nobody. Jacob Chychrun has not signed a deal with Washington yet. He is another guy I look at as someone I could sign. Now, he's going to be a little bit a bigger contract, but if you're losing Lindgren, Miller, and whoever, if you know, you have, you can see Vaakanainen seems affordable too. If you're losing Lindgren and Miller, that's what could be, you know, $9 million right there, $8.5 million right there. I know you don't want to put it just in the Chychrun, but I mean,
yeah, his availability always scares me, but I know what you're
saying. Yeah,
but
he's a young guy. He's really good, and he's something the Rangers need.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, and he can solidify that back end.
He has been injured, though, so I get what you're saying.
Yeah. But I mean, imagine a Rangers blue line with Chychrun, Fox, Schneider, Borgen, Vaakanainen, and then add in whatever guy you want to sign as a veteran as your sixth guy.
Maybe that brings like, the Zach Jones. Maybe that's your Zach Jones.
Yeah, I mean,
here.
But that's what I'm saying. You bring in, look at how much that team defensively is. That's a better defensive core than we have now, just by adding Jacob Chychrun into the mix. You know, so like I said, I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen. You know, and the flexibility of money will also be good if you see that happen. But I mean, you're talking right there about a good core. I mean, I want to be honest with you guys. I want to see Fox and Schneider at some point. I want to see that pairing. I want to see what that does because Schneider is a physical guy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody seems to forget he's physical, man. He doesn't back away from anything or anyone. So I don't know. The Borgen deal I like can end up being really good. AJ made a great point. They could use it for value later on if they really needed to. You know, so listen, guys, I don't most of the time, most trades I don't want to really dive into. But there was a huge trade that happened before we I guess we'll go around the league real quick that happened.
We have to
this weekend.
It, yeah.
No, there's a
huge deal.
Nick, no, we have to discuss this. I mean,
so
we have to discuss this.
For people, if you've been living under a rock, there was a trade this weekend with Mikko Rantanen from the Colorado Avalanche going to Carolina and Taylor Hall from the Chicago Blackhawks going to Carolina. Colorado received Drury and Natchez and I think a second and a fourth.
Yes.
And then Carolina gave Chicago back their three. And I think that there was one other player that went to Carolina. I don't remember who, or like a late pick or some sort. Either way.
It was a late pick, but Chicago, you have to remember, like a big part of this is Chicago also retained a lot of the money.
Yeah, but that's kind of wild to me. It's like, how much more was Taylor Hall? How much more was Rantanen making than Taylor Hall? Because they took on Taylor Hall's full salary.
Chicago's involvement in this trade is honestly probably one of the stupider trades for them. I can't even understand it.
They're the big loser here. They gave up
a player and retained salary and only got a third round pick. Like
I think it's insane to me. So that's nuts. That's what I was gonna say when I was kind of upset about the Carolina Hurricanes earlier. How do they? This is where I don't know understand. If it's true, there's Rangers tax, that's ridiculous. That's absurd, but whatever. How are you telling me you got Jake Guentzel and Mikko Rantanen and Taylor Hall and didn't trade a top four prospect or a first round pick? How is that possible?
It's because when they got them, they're rentals. They're all rentals.
Yeah, but you still have the time to now discuss from here on out with Mikko Rantanen, you know? The rest of the season, now you have the opportunity to do so, and I think they're going to pay him.
Give up top four prospects, Natchez and Drury are legitimate contributors, and they're under contract. I think you guys are actually going to see a better version of Natchez in Colorado because he can keep up with McCann.
I 100% agree.
And he can keep up with Makar. You are going to see another level of Martin Natchez in Colorado. You are.
Also, let's talk about it real quick. I mean, to your point, Nick, you said you think that they're going to re-sign him, but at the same time, this is a franchise that has been historically They're cheap. I'm not completely sold, and while it's completely possible that they do re-sign Mikko Rantanen, I also think it's quite possible that, especially if they win the cup this year, I can go both ways on that, what I'm about to say, but maybe if they win the cup this year, maybe it's more pressure to re-sign him. Maybe they're like, all right, well, we won. We don't want to pay you $14 million, and they got what they wanted, but I think it's an all-in move for this year because, again, I'm not convinced that they sign him. It's a possibility they do, but
I don't think he's signing.
Straight up, boys, I hated the trade for Colorado at first, but the more and more I think about it, I think it's actually a smart deal on their end,
it's really a good deal.
You get a cost-controlled top line, top six. You can, you know, just top six minimum player who, to your point, Dan, that you said, can keep up with the Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makars, you know, and you probably freed up money, right? Because if you're not paying Mikko Rantanen $14 million. You now have money to maybe go out and get maybe another two pieces. And I do think Drury is, again, a very underrated part of this deal. I think he was doing great in his bottom six role.
He was.
Right? So, like,
they needed a player like Jack Drury, too, if the Avalanche were going to do anything this season. I agree.
Yeah. This team, Colorado, man. And listen, it's obviously all skepticism. I know Biz is a big proponent of this, but will Sidney Crosby really be a Penguin the rest of his career, guys?
He will.
I think
you can't trade him unless he says trade me. I'm pretty sure he has no move protection.
Yeah, but here's my thought process.
Go ahead.
If you're looking at Colorado right now, the Western Conference, as you know, now listen, I think the West is better than the East overall. But I mean, man, there is not a clear cut best team in the West, man. There's a lot of really good teams, but I think if Colorado adds, could you imagine a Sidney Crosby to the mix here, what that does for them?
Him and McKinnon on the same team would be outrageous. Should be illegal.
I read something that they want to do a fire sale, but Letang would have to be moved in the right deal, and then Malkin and Crosby are still untouchables, and then everything else is good, and then obviously Carlson is the piece that they want to move, but who the hell wants Carlson? It's like, dude, then you know what I mean? Then it's like, dude, then like. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so what's really the fire sale here?
I don't know.
Like, I've read that before, I don't know. It's kind of beyond me. But I kind of see what you're saying in regards to like, but you know, and do we think like Rantanen was kind of playing good guy, like revisionist history? When like that quote came back up again, where he said he would probably take under market value to stay in Colorado. I know he said it a year and a half ago, right, to like a Finnish newspaper, but it's been resurfacing since the trade.
I don't know if that's just the media outlets.
What does a hometown discount look like? Am I giving you $1 million off? Like, because to him that might be the hometown discount. Go ahead, Dan, hometown, I'm sorry.
Right. No, but actually, AJ, you're actually right. Like, what does that look like? And I know it was said this past summer, like, so it's way before it was even a thought that they could possibly trade this guy, but maybe Colorado said like, listen, like we you know, but if you're Colorado's thinking, you have to say, you might be sitting there saying, listen, like, we don't want to pay this player that much, that's what it would require, and that's his market value, and you know what, we have number 29 on our roster, and we can replace a player that's if we could replace a player that we maybe think that has another gear and is making a little bit less and is a little bit more cost controlled
and younger
and can move right with McKinnon and is just as fast. Like we can like guys, like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like what the Chiefs and the Bills have done the last couple of years where they traded away the star receiver. And they've still ended up both in the AFC Championship. Or, you know, in the Chiefs' case, they've made three straight Super Bowls since trading away Tyreek Hill. Because they used all those picks and all those assets and all those players that they've been able to get to, you know, build a weakness into a strength. Like the Chiefs were able to do that with all those picks that they got with Tyreek Hill. And you know, even with, you know, the Stephon Diggs trade for the Bills, they were able to kind of spread the wealth and change up the offense a little bit. And you saw how good James Cook was this postseason as well for the Bills. And sure, maybe the Bills need a number one receiver. But like my point is that like, you know, we have this player, like the Chiefs and Bills looked at it as we have number 15. We have Josh Allen. We have Patrick Mahomes. We can, you know, we can cover this up with their greatness. And that's probably what the Avalanche are thinking in this with McKinnon. Yeah.
I think that, but also like, and real quick, Nick, because I know you're about to go.
No, you're good. I was waiting for you.
Yeah, no, I just think too, like if you're really thinking about $14 million and what that can do for a roster. I mean, and again, okay, so assuming you're Colorado, he would have taken a hometown discount. I read something on Twitter, which, again, unreliable news source, that supposedly 12.6 was the max that he would have been willing to go down to. And I think even that was a little bit too rich for the Avalanche, which is fair. I understand. So if you take that number, 12.6, and you try to spread it around the roster, I think we can agree that with Rantanen, Colorado had a phenomenal power play unit, a phenomenal top line. But if we're being honest, boys, what about the rest of that team? Do we look at the – I don't know what their second line looks like right now, but for the most part, it was primarily a one-line team from my understanding, right? So now if you take $12.6 million – and you maybe spread it even into two pretty good players or two good players, and now you're adding depth to the team.
And Jack Drury.
Yeah.
You're at least creating 2.5 lines, yeah.
Exactly. So I think, you know, you can argue that they gave up a superstar in the process, but at the end of the day, they also freed up money to the point where, let's say they grab two more players. Again, Jack Drury's great in his role. The next thing you know, maybe you're looking at them as more of a competitive team going forward than maybe they were with Rantanen on the team. Can only pay so many guys, right, boys?
Yeah. There's only so many mouths you can feed.
You know, we were talking about we can't pay Igor $12 million. You know, and obviously we didn't pay him $12 million, but there's only so many guys you can give an over $10 million contract too. Now you think about MacKinnon having 12, you think about Rantanen having 14, and you think about, now granted, Makar is on probably one of the best contracts in the league. I think he's at like 9, 9.5, but for what he produces, that's incredible. You signed him early enough.
Yeah, right? You signed him early enough. You bought all those RFA years, essentially.
Yeah. But then think about how much of the cap. So 9.5 plus 12 is 21.5 plus 14. You're already looking at 35.5, right? And obviously the cap is going to go up. We all know that. And apparently it's going to go up more than what they had projected, which is great. But at the end of the day, you only have this chunk left to spread out amongst the rest of your roster. And now with people knowing the cap is going up, they're going to say, well, I want a little more money. I want a little more money, rightfully so and understandably so. So I honestly think initially I hated it for them. I think it's actually a really smart business move by the Colorado Avalanche.
It's a great move. I mean, and listen, it's hard because this team, once again, like you said, there's a lot of, like, McKinnon's making a lot of money. That's the one thing. But I'm looking at their lineup right now just because I was curious. I mean, their team is, they have Landeskog on IR. I don't know what's going on in this juice skin. I know that's been like a whole scenario. And Kylington is also on IR for this team, you know, so defensively, Makar, Taves, Girard, Manson, Sasala, Guy Common, DeHaan, their guy right now is Malinsky, but he'll probably be replaced by Kylington, who's a better defenseman. And their lineup is, you want to see better than Drouin in your first line left wing, but Drouin, MacKinnon, Natchez. I assume that Landeskog becomes back will slot into
I can't count Paris. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm not saying that either. But I mean, if you're just looking at it, I mean, Mittelstadt, Lehkonen, Miles Wood, Jack Drury, Russ Colton's a solid third line, really solid third line. And their fourth line, Logan O'Connor, Parker Kelly, Kivranta. I mean, listen, like that is what that is. But I mean, they still got a really good roster. I mean, Blackwood has been excellent for them in Colorado too, which is something that has been not spoken about enough. I mean, realistically, they're a really good team still. But I want to turn now to Carolina and really focus on them for the last couple minutes of the podcast, because this is really the team that we have to think about. What does Rantanen bring to this team? I mean, he brings something they've missed. Obviously, he's a big guy. But I'm curious to see how much of Rantanen was made from MacKinnon. That's what I'm curious to see.
I don't think he was a guy just because of MacKinnon. I think he for sure is one of the best players in the league. I think he's an actual superstar. And to your point, and I was going to say, I'm happy you brought it up. We kept bringing up Colorado's side, but I think Carolina wins in this as well because they got a superstar which immediately makes their power play better, which immediately makes their top six better. And they somehow also got Taylor Hall in the deal. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say Taylor Hall is the guy that pushes you over the edge, but we're talking about a number one overall pick years and years and years ago that, you know, he only really had like one phenomenal season. But if you're talking about a skilled player in general in your bottom six, eating up not much, you know, time on ice in general, but still has skill, I think Carolina obviously did a lot to bolster their lineup as well in a season where, yeah, when you look at the East, who is really super competitive in the East, right? Like, I don't think anyone's taking Toronto seriously, right? Like, they're a good team, but typically they fan out in the first round, right? So if you're Carolina, you're looking at, okay, we really have to worry right now about Washington and Florida. And I don't even know where Florida is in the standings, but you have to worry about Florida no matter where they are. So I think they did a great business deal for themselves as well, setting themselves up for what they believe could be the Stanley Cup year, especially now with this guy.
So real quick, just want to point out their injuries currently. Foss is on IR. Carrier is out. Jost is out. And Roslovic is day-to-day. So those are just their injuries. To not even add to this lineup that is still stacked as we speak. I mean, their lineup right now is Rantanen, Aho, and Blake on line one. Kokkoniemi, Svechnikov, and Taylor Hall on line two, which I love. I think it's a solid second line. Their third line is unbelievable in Martinuk, Staal, and Jarvis as their third line. And that fourth line obviously will change as it goes. They have Joska Robinson and Stillman. So obviously the fourth line you don't necessarily love, but man, that third line in itself is going to just dominate games come the postseason. It's insane what this lineup is going to be, you know, once Foss comes back. I mean, you slot Foss in there on the fourth line instead. This team is really good. And then defensively, they have Slavin, Burns, Orlov, Chatfield, Gostisbehere, and Walker as your bottom two pairing. The only thing that most teams that they aren't great at is in goal. I think Kochekov and Anderson are fine, but that can cost them games is their goaltending. But man, this team is really, really good, and they are trying to win clearly. And it is unreal where they what this team has become.
Man, so from a Carolina standpoint, I mean, this is a win now move. And, you know, they feel like this year they can close the gap with, and realistically, read off that roster and you feel good about what they have, especially at the forward position. My question is always going to be goaltending. And how do we feel about them defense with their decor? Because they did lose Pesci and Brady Shea this past off season, and I just want to kind of get a feel for like how we feel about their decor.
Let me tell you right now. Let me take a look.
Because
Carolina's decor,
like how
they're fine.
I love it.
They're fine.
You're telling me Sean Walker and Gostisbehere are your third pair?
That's pretty good.
I get it.
I'm good. I if I'm the New York Rangers, put these six in front of my goaltender. I mean, I'm looking at there's three defensemen here right now. The only defenseman on the Rangers that I would take over any of their top three would be Fox. I mean, that's it.
Probably take Fox.
Burns, Slavin, Orlov. No? Yes. Slavin's really good, man.
I know he's really
Fox
good.
Fox is great, but Slavin can play defense. Like, Slavin reminds me of McDonough, and that's a guy the Rangers are missing right now. So that's the only guy to take over Fox. But I mean, the whole rest of the defensive core, man. I mean, give me most of these five guys over what we have now. Will Borgen's are great, but even Will Borgen, yeah, it's just, this is a solid defensive core. And each line has their, like, you know, that second pair with Orlov and Chatfield is defensive the whole way. Gostisbehere can be offensively savvy because he's the bottom pair guy with Sean Walker, who's a defensive guy. And Burns and Slavin match each other off really well because they're both two big guys, physical. They're going to be a team that you reckon with, and it's scary what they have done. And Rotten is significantly better than JT Miller is.
So Carolina, Florida.
Let me look at Florida real quick. It's hard Florida to wins argue
because
Carolina
of their
now.
Goaltending.
Okay.
True. Fair.
That's all I was looking for. Just a.
I mean, it's as simple as that. If you had to pick today,
if you had to pick today, Carolina or Florida before the deadline, I mean, just as constructed.
Let's look at that real quick, and then we do have to try and wrap here soon. Kachuk, Barkov, Reinhart, Lister, Reinen, Bennett, Samochkachev, Verhaeghe, no, Lundell, Boqvist is solid, Greer, Nozick, and Rodriguez. Ekblad, Forsling, Mikola, Kulikov, Schmidt, and I mean, once again, it's just, yeah, difference of this team's goaltending. I mean, they're pretty. I guess I give the offensive favor to Carolina. Like, I give Florida. I give Florida line one. I'll give Carolina line two once Fast is back, or Roslovic even.
100%.
I'll give Carolina line three. I'll give Florida line four. Defensive pairs, I give Florida defensive pair one. I give Florida defensive pair two. I give Carolina defensive pair three. And then in net, it's Florida. So I think
it's Florida. I guess,
yeah.
I think Florida. And I say that. I'm sorry, Nick. I thought you were like.
No, you're good. Literally, I'm good.
I didn't mean to cut you off at all. But
No. I'm not. You're good.
I think it's hard to argue that guys that have already done it and guys that play the way Alexander Barkov, Anton Lundell, Carter Verhaeghe, Sam Reinhart, Matthew Tkachuk, they got too many guys that know how to win when it's time to win. And they also have too many guys that, like, Anton Lundell is literally baby Barkov. They have basically two Sasha Barkovs on that team to a degree, mm-hmm. in the way Anton Lundell plays defense and then also contributes offensively is absolutely incredible. And then to your point, yeah, I think it comes down to goaltending, and I would argue that Bobrovsky is better than whoever Carolina wants to deploy that day. But it's close. I could see that series going either way, but if I had to pick who I'm giving an edge to, I'm probably leaning Florida.
I just think Florida would just bully them around.
That's they play the thing very that worries physical me. Too.
Yeah.
That's I'm not gonna go up and down the board. I just think Florida
the only line.
Florida would yeah. bully them around.
Yeah, that's fair. Listen, guys, any final thoughts before we wrap here?
No. I was wrong, everyone. Rangers are back in it. Let's go Rangers. And go ahead, Dan. I want to hear where you're ooing about.
It's a big week. It's a big 2 weeks. They have a lot of teams in front of them that, you know, you could pull a lot more people. You could see a lot more people like AJ that were so far out be pulled right back in the next 14 days because of who they play and just depending on how they play. And I think that starts with, you know, Carolina and the games that they have against Boston coming up, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, I told you guys it's a long season. I know it was looking really dull, but there was too much hockey to be played, and there still is a lot of hockey to be played before decisions are finally made. So with all that being said, thanks everybody for listening to the Healthy Scratches, a Blue Shirts podcast. Follow us on X, Twitter, whatever you like to call it, at @THSABSPodNYR. Follow us on all of our podcasting platforms, guys. We are everywhere. We appreciate all the support. Once again, weekly, we are going to be posting Wednesdays at 8 a.m. So be on the lookout for your drives into work or your drive home from work, whatever you guys like to listen to, whenever you guys like to listen to us. We appreciate all the support. And let's go Rangers.
Yes. Please like, please follow, please share with your friends, post your Instagram stories. If you just type in THS, it comes up rather quickly. I feel like THS, ABS, we'll work something out at that point because there's a lot of letters in there. But yeah, for the most part, if you type in THS, you should be able to find it rather quickly. Please support us. Let's go Rangers. And you won't hear me ever say this often, but Nick was right.